Hi, this is David Skrika, and this is a podcast for July 6th, 2015. So, obviously, the big news in the media is Greece. So what we're going to do this week, I'm going to have three podcasts. Today, I'm going to talk about Greece. Tomorrow, I'm going to talk about China. And then later in the week, we're going to talk about the energy sector. And later in the week, actually going to do four, we're also going to talk about market overvaluation, because I think there's everything kind of intertwined here. Greece in itself is, I don't think, a big actual deal for the markets. I kind of saw what was happening a few weeks ago. Just so you know, I've been kind of had Greece on my radar longer term. I bought in 2012. I sold most of my positions in early 2014. And I bought back in this year. And then recently sold out of National Bank of Greece. Roughly a flat to slightly down trade. I still own a tiny bit of GREC, which is the Greece ETF. Again, that's slightly that's down at the moment. But it's a very, very small position. Because I believe, you know, Greece is actually one of the cheapest markets in the world. I still would be better off defaulting and leaving the drachma, which we'll get into in a second. But I think itself, when you look at what was happening, what's happening in Greece is that I think what's really dangerous and interesting, this has nothing to do with markets, is that, you know, watching TV and watching the news and whatever is that, you know, a lot what's happened is that if you look at a lot of the budgets of these big media companies because of the internet, you know, being competing with it, and they can't make money anymore. It's actually not really helped journalism. You thought the internet would make the world more open and we could see more things. It's actually really hurt that, because what has essentially happened in this world is these companies have no investigative journalism or no real journalism anymore. So they just use talking points, and even Wall Street was criticizing. I couldn't believe it. Some Wall Street guys were criticizing the major media's covering of the Greece market the Greece elections and the talks, the EU talks, because they kept saying a deal was done every time someone would put in a little report. And, you know, it obviously causes these gyrations, etc. And then, like, for example, with the actual vote itself, virtually every mainstream media outlet, especially in the United States and Europe, were calling for the yes side to win. Bloomberg had one poll, for example, where they were saying the whole poll, the entire time, the yes side was winning. So I don't know who they were polling. But, you know, it obviously wasn't real people, or they had that poll very jaded towards the result that they wanted to happen. And supposedly even the media in Greece was all on side of the yes side. And I'm not talking about if you agree or disagree with the outcome. I'm just saying that this, you know, and obviously it was nowhere even close. So we have, like, all this propaganda. And when I really started to lose faith in it was actually, you know, one of the other markets I bought late last year and I've done well on. We sold some of the positions just recently and then are looking to re-add is Russia, because Russia is about the cheapest market in the world. And essentially in the fourth quarter last year, when Russia was kind of falling apart with oil going down and sanctions and what's happening in Ukraine, the amount of propaganda I would see on Bloomberg, on Reuters, et cetera, against Putin, against Russia, was absolutely ridiculous. They were just reporting that Russia was collapsing almost every day and it was horrible and this and that. And it was not, it was just totally biased, you know. So that was what really got me kind of worried about it. So that's kind of another problem, too, is that, you know, in the financial media, and this kind of brings us to the stock market, is, you know, like they act like these dips are all great to buy and that the market's not expensive. And they'll just, you know, and CNBC cheers every time the stock goes up 50 points or something. And it's dangerous in a bubble type environment, because you're talking about stocks trading that totally excessive, you know, kind of valuations and the whatnot, right? So that's kind of, you have to tone out some of the propaganda and the whatnot. And as for Greece itself, I don't think it really has been priced in, but, you know, I would definitely think that there is a slight chance of contagion. You look at, you know, Italy, Spain, Portugal, all huge debtors. It's Portugal and Italy are both over 100% to GDP. Spain is over 100% to GDP. Are nearing it and all have, you know, really structural problems in their economy, but they've been part of the ECB buying program. They've seen their rights plummet. You know, Greece has not. And the question is, will this spread to them? I think that's the biggest risk in Greece itself. It's really small. It's really small. And there's not much exposure. So, again, actually, talking about the propaganda campaign, is that one thing that almost no one is mentioning on the mainstream media is that in 2010-2011, banks owned $250 billion of Greek debt. Now they only own $50 billion, and most of the debt has been transferred to kind of public entities like the IMF or like the ECB or like other governments, etc. So essentially, that leverage has been taken off the bank's balance sheets and, you know, put on the public balance sheets, which is, by the way, what the bailout was really done for. We haven't really, because look at it this way. We really haven't seen structural reforms in the Greek economy. You would think that after 5 years of austerity, we would have had some structural reforms. We have seen cuts in pensions and outlays and these sort of things. The Greek budget actually has shrunk by 20%. That's something else no one mentions, by the way. You know, the talking point is, oh, the Greeks are a bunch of lazy socialists who got pensions when they were 50. Well, you know, the budget has shrunk by 20%, okay, which is a lot more than I can say for the United States or the UK or us here in the rest of the Western world, right? Right, in terms of, you know, trying to get the budget in order. So basically, there were no structural reforms. They did cut outlays. So who was that tells you the bailout was done for the banks. It was not done for people, you know, because part of the austerity and bailout measures would have been like, oh, you know, you can cut pensions, but, you know, you don't have to cut them that much because we're helping you out. Right. Or part of the austerity would be like, if you really want this money, you have to really reform your economy. You have to make it, you know, you have to make it easier to hire and fire people for employers. You have to cut corporate taxes, whatever it may be. But obviously no structural reforms were taking place, which is why, by the way, I laugh at the Greeks. I think it's called New Democracy, the supposed conservative party there, who, by the way, was sucking from the trough as much as all the other parties in Greece when Greece was out of control spending. But I laugh at them because I'm like, well, you were in power and you're a so-called conservative party and you put in zero reforms. And, you know, now you're acting like it's these crazy socialists that are in power, you know, which are the problem. So, you know, and I think, like, the basic idea behind this podcast is kind of the whole propaganda kind of theme, okay, where it's very difficult to segment what's real and what's not. You really have to do research into the numbers and see what's really going on here. So Greece in itself, again, small. Maybe psychologically really bad for the euro if they leave or whatever happens. I still think they'll have some kind of deal come up. And I think actually Greece is still going to be a very good buying opportunity here at some point and, represents real value. But I think, like, the real risk, again, is some sort of contagion. Or, like, you know, if Greece gets kind of what they want, if they get a large debt write-down, which I think they needed a large debt write-down, or they get loosening on some of the austerity or some of the privatization and modernization things, then that also has, you know, Portugal and Spain lifting their chops that, you know, they don't have to abide by the austerity as much, et cetera. I think that's kind of where the danger lies for Europe going forward. So like I said, Greece, I'm actually not surprised to see the market off its lows today and actually almost flat as I'm speaking here, because I don't think it's that big of a deal, short term. But I think the longer term implications are definitely the threat of contagion, definitely the thing that you might get, you know, certain similar kind of views prop up in Spain and Portugal. And I think the also dangerous thing it shows, too, is how leveraged these banks are. That when you're talking about Greece, which is not even 1%, so about 0.5% of the global economy, putting the whole European bank sector at risk 5 years ago if they defaulted, it just shows you how badly run these banks are. And my opinion would be that the banks, are the real problems, because anyone who did due diligence on the history of Greece, this is a country that spent over 100 of the last 200 years in default. You know, you could see the generous pensions and public outlays and corruption. You know, if you just look at how much money they wasted building stadiums during the 2004 Athens Games, you could just see all the cronyism, et cetera, in this economy. And these guys, all these bankers, are still loaning the money. So I think that's actually shows you how fragile the system is. And then, you know, you're talking about Spain, Italy, Portugal, you know, especially in the case of Spain and Italy, much, much larger economies. Italy is something like the fourth largest bond market in the world. So what, and Italy's debt to GDP, by the way, is 130%, which is what Greece was before, right when their debt crisis really started in 2010. So, you know, we're definitely in for some interesting, some potentially interesting times. So, Greece, that's kind of my part one of threats. I think the big threat is contagion, you know, that this kind of spreads to the other periphery countries in Europe, okay? So next, part two we're going to talk about tomorrow is China. And I'm going to talk about the Chinese bubble and why this is a danger to the global economy and some things that you might not know about China, et cetera, and what's going on there. Right. So I think that's going to be part two. And then part three, we'll talk about the energy debt situation. And then part four, we're going to talk about the actual overvaluation of the markets, which is, by the way, the real reason the market will decline. All these things are going to be used as excuses, but the market will decline because it's overvalued. OK, thanks. Bye.